Who am I? It's a question of identity. It's one that we all ask at one time or another. A few years ago, you may not know this about me, I had an identity crisis. And as many of you have probably noticed, I have a nice beard. Well, I used to have a really thick, long, luscious lumberjack beard. And in what became known as the Great Shave of 2018, my lead pastor at the time and I pitted our beards against each other for a missions fundraiser. I was at a clear disadvantage out of the gate. It was the perfect underdog story. The lowly youth pastor ferociously fighting for his facial hair. It was touch and go for a while, but with one passionate plea, I turned the tables and it looked like my pastor was going to lose. And for a moment, a brief moment, I allowed myself to dream. To dream of a Monday morning when I would stroll into the office, my beard flowing behind me in the wind. And I'd come to my pastor's office and lean on the door, see his baby face. And without a word, without a single word, I would just silently stroke my beard. It was beautiful and it was all within my grasp. But in the final hour, everything changed. I watched in horror as one person after another put their money in the Shave Joe box. And in that moment, my whole life was turned upside down. I would have to shave. And that shave sent me reeling. Who was I without my beard? 7 iconic years of being the man with a beard was gone in a single moment. No longer would random strangers comment on how magnificent my facial hair was. My children barely even recognized me. Even my wife had a hard time coming to terms with what I had become. I was in full-blown identity crisis. In one game-changing moment, everything that I thought I had and that I thought I was gone. Now maybe, just maybe, your identity is not wrapped up in something as superficial as facial hair. But we all place our identity, who we are, our sense of meaning in things that are here in one moment and gone the next. We all place our identity in things that are fragile. I am my job. I am my Instagram. I am my kid's success. I am my money. I am my sexuality. I am my moral lifestyle. I am my fill in the blank. And all of these identities can be just ripped out from underneath of us in a single moment. One call to the office and your career is over. One look at your real life and your perfectly selected and filtered snaps are exposed. Your kid doesn't become the next Taylor Hall, but is still living in your basement in their 30s and you feel like you're a failure. Fill in the blank. Or maybe if we dig a little deeper, our sense of identity actually has nothing to do with these superficial things. It doesn't have anything to do with our jobs or Instagram. Maybe those are all mediums that we use to express these deeper identities. I am my performance. I'm only as good as what I do. The level that I'm loved and accepted by others is directly proportional to my performance. I'm a failure. Somewhere along the line, someone labeled you the screw-up, and your entire life is spent either wallowing in it or striving to show them that they're wrong. I am nobody. I must stand out above the rest so people will know that I am somebody, that my life has meaning, that I am not a waste of space, not just 1 in 7.5 billion. And when we place our identity in these things, we become a slave to the approval of others. Being seen becomes priority number one, and this makes us incredibly anxious and stressed out. Because failure is catastrophic. To fail means that others think less of you. To fail means that you are a failure. And as a result, these things aren't life-giving. There is a profound emptiness. All of these identities make for a hollow shell of a life well lived, beautiful on the outside, but paper thin and empty on the inside. And so we have to ask ourselves, how did we end up here? How did our sense of identity and meaning and self-worth become so broken? I want to read to you a poem about the resiliency of the human spirit. It expresses the driving motivation behind our identities, and this poem is called Invictus. Out of the night that covers me, black is the pit from pole to pole. I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody, but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade. And yet the menace of the years finds me and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishment the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. I mean, that is a powerful poem. It just like gets you right there. And many of you may recognize this poem is Invictus, that the poem that Nelson Mandela read while he was in prison. And this poem had a significant role in shaping his identity, and he went on to do incredible things. He revolutionized South Africa for the better. His life story is a testament of the resilience of the human spirit, and I think that poem is so inspiring. But there's just one little problem that I just have with it. I just can't let go. And it's that this poem is based on a mutiny. That ultimately, we decide our fate. We decide who we are and what our purpose in this life will be. That we have rejected God's identity for our lives and put on our own. In our pursuit for meaning, we have actually mutinied the one who gave us meaning in the first place. And so this morning, I want to challenge you that each of us needs a moment in our sense of identity, a moment of clarity, because your sense of identity determines your destiny. And so if our sense of identity determines our destiny that's anxious or constantly down and feeling blue or even depressed or a place of striving and ultimately nothing, because you can't take it with you when you go, then maybe, just maybe, you need a better story. And so let's take a look at what the Bible has to say about who we are. And we don't have to go any farther than the very first page. In fact, the very first words at the very first page go like this: In the beginning, God created. And at first glance, this doesn't seem to tell us anything about ourselves, but it actually tells us two vital things. The first thing that it tells us is that the story of life is actually God's story, not ours. Our perspective from the very start is flawed. We are looking at the whole thing backwards and upside down. This life is not so much our story as it is His. And we certainly have a role to play, which we will see in a moment, but it is simply not about us. The second vital truth is that we are created. We are not the result of blind chance. It's not whatever gods may be. And if I can challenge you for a second, if God created us, doesn't that mean that He should also be the one to name us, to give us identity, meaning, and purpose? So if we're going to put down our swords and stop the mutiny for a moment, let's ask ourselves, what identity does God give us? Well, let's take a look at Genesis chapter 1. For just verses 26 and 27. So then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And I just want to stop right there. See, God has given us the identity of the image of God. What theologians call it, the imago Dei, because everything is more spiritual when you say it in Latin. But being made in the imago Dei, or the image of God, is not just a nice sentiment. It is full of profound meaning and mystery. When God created the world, he said that it was good. But when he created us, he said, okay, now let's get serious. I'm going to make beings that actually reflect me, that represent me, that are made in my image. In Psalm chapter 8, verses 4 and 5, the psalmist asks, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. Clearly, there is something very special about being made in God's image. And I want to offer you a few ways that God's divine imprint on our lives shapes our identity. The first way is that you have value. Your value is not conditional on the approval or acceptance of others. You have worth and significance before you do anything. Your value does not go up and down like the stock market. It's intrinsic to who you are, made in the image of God. And this means that we can stop stressing out about what others think of us. We can rest in what Christ thinks of us. Depending where you are in life, this is either great news or terrible news. If you've lived your whole life feeling like a failure, this is great news. You can find love in the arms of God. But maybe you're here and you've been extremely successful. Perhaps you've acquired tons of wealth and lived a morally commendable life. Accepting the imago Dei means that you have to come to turn that the greatest of sinners, the lowliest of low, has the same value as you do. And I don't say this to diminish your value, but to expose that our identity is never based on competition or comparison. Our value is not based on other people's evaluation of us, but on who God says that we are. The second thing that the image of God, the second truth that it brings out in us, is that we have purpose. In the passage, in that passage in Genesis, God does two things. He names us and he gives us purpose. He gave us dominion over the earth. He gives us a responsibility and a task. And we all have the need to do something significant that's burnt into our hearts, to find meaning, to make our lives matter, to have it count. And the only problem is that we've rejected God's purpose for our lives and tried to create our own. We created our own meaning out of straw, but God wants to give you a new meaning that can weather any storm. So the difference between our sense of meaning and God's goes back to whose story this is. In a story, every word, every detail, every character exists to tell the story of the protagonist. That's the main character. And in the story of life, God is the protagonist. When we live our lives for ourselves, we actually become deeply dissatisfied because we are not doing what we were created to do. We're not living out our divine purpose. We were created to make God famous, to worship him, famous in our hearts, in our homes, in our finances, in our work, in our relationships, in all areas of life. And so we have to ask ourselves, what would it look like if instead of living for myself, we found purpose and meaning in the pursuit of God? Instead of competing with others, what would happen if we helped one another? Instead of comparing, what would happen if we didn't define ourselves by our successes or failures? And finally, the third thing that's burned into us from the image of God is that each and every one of us has a need. You have a need. Now, this may not sound very positive, but just track with me for a moment. Remember how I showed how all of these identities that we give ourselves are beautiful on the outside, but paper thin and hollow on the inside? The reason for that is that we were created for relationship. But not just relationship with each other, but a worship relationship. In each of our hearts is the silent cry to know our Creator. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1 that we have deafened ourselves to that cry, that we exchange the glory of the immortal God for images. That they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. Now, perhaps you don't have a shrine with it or an image that you worship, but we all worship something. And sometimes that something is a self-made image that we construct for ourselves. We push off the Imago Dei. We reject God's image and his meaning and his purpose for our life. And we stand up and we proclaim proudly, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. I can be whoever I want to be, and no one, not even God, can stop me. You see, the problem is not low self-esteem. It's not even high self-esteem. Both have the same root problem of assuming that life is about us. Either everyone hates us and we're no good, or we're better than everyone else. Our problem is that we don't hold Christ in high enough esteem. You know, what would happen if instead of placing our self-worth on who we are and placed it on whose we are? Because friends, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. Because even though we've been made in the image of God, even though we've gone and done our own thing, when we come back to Him, there's another name that He would like to call us. And I want to read to you from John chapter 1, verses 10 to 13. It says, He came to this world. This is talking about Jesus. He came to the very world He created, but the world didn't recognize Him. Sorry, I lost my place. The world didn't recognize Him. He came to His own people, and even they rejected Him. But to all who believed Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. They were reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. You see, friends, we may have turned our backs on Him, but when we turn back to Him, when we believe in Him, we find love in the arms of our Father. We are called child. We find that our need to be accepted is fulfilled, that our desire for real and lasting relationship is satisfied. We find that our souls are eternally secure, that no matter what storms may rage, we are secure in His loving arms. But in order to get there, something has to die. In order to take on your identity in Christ, you need to give up your old identity. The beard has to come off. And this doesn't mean that you give up who you are as a person. Who you are as a person is made in the image of God. But we do need to give up the silent rebellion in our hearts. The peace that says, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. That part needs to go. It's almost as if someone had once said, if you want to save your life, you have to lose it. But if you lose your life, if you want to save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life, you will find it. Of course, that was Jesus who said those words. So we have to ask ourselves, how do we lose our life? How do we lose these false identities and take on the identity that we have in Christ? Well, the first thing is, I'm going to give you three R's. The first thing that we need to do is we need to repent. The Bible uses this word repentance, and what it means is that we are turning away from those false identities. We're admitting that they're wrong, and we're following after God's way. It's looked at turning from doing something wrong to doing something right. Repentance happens in the heart. It's when we lay down our swords and we finally stop the mutiny. When we're honest with God and ourselves, that our way of life, that our identity for ourselves is flawed and broken. We give up our self-centered focus for a Christ-centered focus. And to repent is as simple as a prayer. It's as simple as being honest with God. The second thing is that we need to remind. We need to remind ourselves of whose we are and who He says that we are. The image of God and child of God are only two of many of the grand names that God has given us. And we need to remind ourselves of these daily by meditating on them. And maybe you need to tape, one of these verses or a verse about who God says that you are on your bathroom mirror. Maybe you need to put a screensaver on your phone. I don't know. But keep it in front of you. And finally, we need to rest. Sometimes we need to stop striving and just rest in our Father's loving arms. To simply sit in silence, or maybe with worship music on, and just let God speak life to your soul. Surrender your false identities to Jesus and let Him name you. Let Him be the master of your fate. Let Him be the captain of your soul. Then and only then will you truly live. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in an attitude of repentance, of acknowledging times when we've got our identity all wound up and mixed up in what other people think about us or what we think about ourselves. God, we just release that to you. God, let us put on who we are in Christ. Remind us, even in this moment, that we are made in the image of God. That we are a child of God, that we are deeply loved, that we have purpose and value. And Father, I just pray that you would let us rest in this reality. That instead of striving to be someone or something that we were never created to be, that we would rest in who you have made us to be. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.